Hi there, Jonathan Dorr with you, and this is part two of a recent live recording of my Bridging the Gap seminar. If you haven't heard the first one, make sure you go back and check it out. But this week, we're going to start digging a little deeper and begin to look at the key strategies. The first three, anyway, in this recording, we're going to be looking at the decision to bridge the gap in your own life. We're going to look at reference groups and the importance of understanding obstacles. So sit back, relax, and enjoy part two of this live seminar recording. So friends, let's push you through the content now. Work with me as I take you through the eight key strategies plus two. So I wrote a book called Bridging the Gap, which it's just going, this is the old version, the new one's being printed next week. I wrote it, it's got pictures too. It's got pictures. I wrote it really short so that, because I was always flying and I'd see all these guys reading on the planes, and they're always reading Underbelly and like really dodgy stuff. And I'd be there going, wouldn't it be cool if they had a really simple little book that they could just read. So, eight ideas to change your life, because of course there's only eight, and I found them all, and there can't be any more or less. No, this was just me finding eight things that I know had worked in my own life, and then after I wrote it, I found a couple more. So I want to give you these. So here's my promise to you. If you do all of these, you will significantly improve the quality of your life. You will. If you do one of them, you'll get some improvement. Can you sense it in me? My desire to impart, I just want to grab you and go, it works, just do it. Get off Facebook and do this. Right, here we go. Eight strategies, they're in your book. You can take notes or you can do it in your groups later. Number one, not very profound, decide. I had a sense that most people are drifting. Most people are going to drift. Many of you, if you're not careful, are just going to drift. I'm going to drift into this, I'm going to do a bit of study, I should do this course. Most people literally never just get to the point of deciding that they want to live an uncommon life. Hear that sentence again. Most people never get to the point of going, I'd like to live an uncommon life. I am not better or worse than anybody else, but I can promise you, I approach a lot of my life as like, how can I learn more, grow more? How can I do more? I made a decision based on my past and how difficult it was, and I'm recording this, so I'm cautious about what I say, but very much on my own father. My father and I had a very challenging relationship, and when he died, he struggled terribly with depression his whole life and overeating, and he was very unwell. His father died in front of him when he was 15, and 3 days later they sent him to boarding school back in England. That's how they did it. They didn't help young people deal with grief or emotions. So my father's life was really dealing with all of this pain, and I saw somebody do a job that he hated. All the time growing up, he'd say to me, you know, never go into this. He was in construction. Never go into this. It's terrible. He hated his work. And he struggled to have great friendships. And he was a good man. He did the very best that he could. But my life in many ways is going, you know what? I don't want my kids to grow up with that. I decide that it's going to be different. And I've been very strong on that. This is a beautiful place where most people are going to spend most of their lives. This is the beautiful Sunday aisle. Okay? Lots of people spend a huge amount of time here. Someday I'll. Someday I'll start getting fit. Someday I'll study more. Someday I'll ask that guy to go out with me. Someday I'll stop using Facebook all the time. Someday I'll. Everybody lives on Sunday I'll. Someday I'll invest in a property. Someday I'll go to uni. The great thing about Someday I'll is it's so damn nice. You don't have to do anything. You can just sit your butt on the white sands and most people who love Someday Isle, they're going to reinforce you. You're right. You can. One day, girl, you can. You're going to get that. Someday Isle. Don't spend time on Someday Isle. The other thing people do in terms of not deciding is really even more popular is this one. Blame. Well, I would have gone to university if it wasn't for... Well, I would have asked him out, but I just... Well, I would have done this, but. Blame. We are specialists on blame. Blame our parents, blame our families. Listen, with the blame thing, when it comes, think of a reason now where somebody has done something to you at some point in your life and it was their fault. Ready? If this helps, you were right. They probably were terrible and they messed you up. You're better now. I mean, seriously, I'm not validating dangerous or criminal behavior, but what I am saying is, once you're done with the blaming, then what? Maybe you're right. So now what? And lots of people are going to spend the rest of their lives living in that story. Well, I would be different if it wasn't for. Especially if you come from backgrounds of real difficulty, abuse and that sort of stuff. And I, having worked through that myself, blame is probably accurate and true, but eventually you have to decide. Beautiful line from Eleanor Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt's wife, US president's wife, very famous woman because she was one of the first president's wives who was very, very out there. She was involved in a lot of stuff, but she has a beautiful line. Listen to this. Nobody can make you feel anything unless you give them permission. One more time, very powerful. Nobody can make you feel anything unless you give them permission. Now, you've got to have a bit of Jedi stuff here because it's partially not true. Some people can do things to you and it would be strange if you didn't feel hurt. But to feel hurt endlessly, you have to keep giving them the permission. Eventually, you've got to take your power back. Hear this word again? Eventually, you have to take your power back. I can't blame. I can't blame my father at 40 years of age, can I? I can't say I'm just not a good son, a good father to my son because my father wasn't. Maybe I'm right. But I'm driving home at 11 o'clock and I've got a son who's 5. So blaming somebody who's dead isn't really going to be appropriate now, is it? Decide. Seriously, just that. Why doesn't one or two of you here today just go, yeah, why don't I seriously have a kick-ass life? Whose permission do you need? Do you need someone's permission? You ready? I give you permission. Thank you. When I was writing the chapter, there was this beautiful concept of, I'm big into etymology. Etymology is really cool. Etymology is simply the study of where words come from. It's a very interesting science because so much of our language comes from the Romantic languages, French, Italian. This comes from the Latin. Decide comes from decisio. Decisio means, here's the gold, to cut off from. Think of a surgeon, surgery. We talk about the surgeon made an incision, cut in with a scalpel. A decision is to cut off from. This is really powerful. Decisio, decision, to cut off from. Here it is. If you want to live an extraordinary life, ready? What do you need to cut off from? What people? What beliefs? What do you need to unplug from? What do you need to break free from? Hear that question now. What do you need to cut off from, break loose from, to start to live a much more effective life? Relationships, people, habits. It's really hard. Oh, in case you ever go to a seminar and the speaker just goes, just do this, and pumps you up, everything I'm saying to you today, everything is really, really difficult. It's very hard. So running businesses that I run, I used to get vast amounts of email, plus multiple social media channels. And I found that I wasn't effective because I was always replying to email. So I made a rule. I am only going to read it once a day for exactly 1 hour. If I cannot do it in an hour, because I'd heard that some of the most effective business people in the world, that's how they do their email. It almost killed me. I was like, oh man, but I just got to check it. The world will end if I don't just... I had to cut off from it. It was really hard. Here's the question one more time, and it's in your journals. What do you need to cut off from? Questions on decision. It's complex and it's simple at the same time. Simple? Really successful people decided to be. Your Richard Bransons, they just decided that they were going to do it on another level. Any questions on decision? There are 100 intelligent women in the room. Nothing you want to ask? Don't embarrass one of your friends? Okay. Number two. 8 strategies. Number two, reference groups. Reference groups. This one's going to hard. It makes some of y'all uncomfortable. After the next stretch break, there'll be some different seating positions. Okay, reference groups comes from some fascinating study done in US Ivy League colleges from about the 1960s onwards. So this is the best universities in the US. Sociological research. Thanks, Miss Cheers. Sociological research, so sociology departments. The question was this. They would study large numbers of people and ask the question, what is the impact on an individual of the dominant group of people they spend the most time with? Not your family. And they want to, basically they put it this way. The four or five people you spend the most time with outside of your family will have the most significant impact on all your outcomes. Now, once you're an adult, what they mean is what you wear, where you live, what you drive, what you earn, religious affiliations. You can summarize it this way. You will rise as high in life as the five people you spend the most time with. That's very confronting. You will rise as high in life as the five people you spend the most time with. The Texans say it even better. I'll go back to that slide in 2 seconds. In Texas, they have a saying, if you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. If you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. If you want to live an uncommon life, then you have to give a lot of thought to who you are doing life with. The belief systems, the behaviors, and the choices of the five people, could be four, could be six, that you spend the most time with, what they believe, you will tend to believe. Why? Because it's called reference groups. You will reference your behavior on their behavior. Think about it. If you did something outrageous in your peer group, something that they all thought was terrible, your peer group's not going to go, that was so awesome. Your peer group's going to be like, what was that? Put it this way. If you have a group of peers, a group of five people that really are into studying very hard, you will tend to study very hard. If you have a group of people that go out and just get nasty, crazy every weekend and get arrested and turn up on the Daily Telegraph website, then you're probably going to do something. This is not rocket science, but just some of the best academics in the world just put some framework around it. Now, we do what's called distinctions, right? Distinctions are subtle little clarifications, because if you hear me wrong, you could hear me saying something really bad here, which is, I only want you to hang out with very awesome people and don't hang out with anybody that's not completely awesome. That's not what I'm saying. Point one, you're not allowed to become a diva. Romans 12 tells us, do not consider yourself more highly than you ought, but consider yourself with sober judgment. John Howard, the former Prime Minister, there's a moment in his biography when he was about 12 years of age in a movie theatre, and there was a cleaner coming through, and there was a wrapper on the floor, and he kicked it with his foot over to the cleaner, and his mother just went bang and just cracked him over the back of the head. Like, who do you think you are? You're not better or worse than anybody else, but you are allowed to choose who you spend time with. When I was in year 12, I did not make very good decisions in that area at all. I hung out with some very less than evolved people. Okay? Enough said. I don't want to question the next one. Tell us more about them. No. You know why I did it? And this would be really helpful. Because my sense of self was very, very fragile. So put it this way. If you're not strong in yourself, then you will surround yourself with people who don't threaten you in any particular way. So here's the question. How do you change your reference group? Well, let's begin with how you don't change it. I don't know what you all do with that social media stuff. You could maybe do a group thing, right? But you don't pick the five people and go, listen, I was at school today, I heard this presenter, and sorry, but y'all out of the circle now? Like, because you're losers. And I want nothing to do with y'all, seriously. You've been messing, ruining my life for so long, and you're stupid, and I want nothing to do with you. Okay, write down, do not do that. So what do you do? It's very simple. What you do is this. You simply allocate time differently. So if you used to spend a lot of time with them, you just very gently begin to spend less. You do not put a post on Facebook about them. You just go, oh, no, really sorry, I can't make that, jackass. No, you just gently, and I've done this with people where I've just gone, that person has changed, and you're not judging them, they're not bad people, but God does give you the right to control who's in that circle of people closest to you. Scripture's really clear. Proverbs talks about, you know, there's a beautiful line where it says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man or woman sharpen another. Friendship is crucial, but you can choose who they are. So what I've done and I write about it in the book, I have begun increasingly to just notice some guys that I look up to, even at 40, who are achieving things and doing things, and I just spend more time with them. You with me? You just allocate your time differently. What have we done first? Decide, decisio, to cut off from. Number two, reference groups. We've got a few to go. Stand for me, have a good stretch. I want to keep you in state. Keep moving. Obstacles. Dealing with difficulty. You hear a presenter. The presenter seems friendly. He gives you ideas. And you go, how hard can this be? He's a little, short, 5'7" white man. He's done it. It can't be that hard. So you all just charge out of here going, I'm just going to nail that UAI by next Tuesday, man. It's all done. And what happens the minute you hit the first obstacle? Because you are about to hit multiple. Life is consistent. Life's going to serve up tons of them. You are not going to meet the perfect person, get the perfect job, live in the perfect address, maybe, but, you know, Princess Mary, whatever, and goes to a bar and meets, what's his name, Prince. I mean, that's relatively rare, right? Okay, for everybody else, come back here with me on obstacles. Remember we did this before, point A, where you are sitting here this morning, point B. What do you remember about point B? If it's not clear, if it doesn't have reasons, and if it doesn't have internal motivation, you will never change. But what happens when, of course, you hit a brick wall? That you came to the seminar, you read my book, and then it doesn't quite work. Well, then you ask the school to get money back off me. No. Here's what most people do. They do this. Most people, when things are difficult, we have evolved into brilliant ways to check out. We are brilliant at it. We can put people on the moon. We can do amazing stuff with science, technology, and we've also evolved brilliant ways to avoid reality. We are brilliant at it. One of my favorite lines, of course, from The Simpsons is when Homer turns to Lisa because she's having trouble learning the saxophone. And she says, he's talking, he goes, it's a beautiful line, father to daughter. He said, honey, haven't I always told you when something's really hard, that means it's not worth doing? And she just looks up at him and like, really? All right. So here's most people's standard response to difficulty. Now, let me make it relevant for you, right? You leave here today, you start to study more, and it gets hard. And then here's what most people are going to do. Maybe I didn't really want it. You'll be sitting there in your room, there'll be a textbook in front of you, there'll be a phone next to you, and you'll be there going, yeah. Remember comfort zones? Very comfortable. Maybe I didn't really want it. Oh, in case you don't know this, your brain, much of the time, is not your friend. Okay, it's not. Much of the time, there is a part of your brain, sits on good angel, evil angel, lots of the time there'll be a part of your brain telling you absolute useless information. You didn't really want it. And you go, I think I did. And this brain, no, you didn't. It's not comfortable. It doesn't come with ice cream. It's all just too hard. It's just too hard. Yes, so was Everest. So was crossing the oceans for the first time. So was asking Karen to marry me and dating her for 3 years. Anything worth having is usually difficult. Hear that again? It's worth writing down. Anything usually worth having is usually difficult. So the universe, God, will tend to give you pretty much whatever you want if you can clarify it clearly and be prepared to just wrestle and work for it. But most people are going to someday aisle and they're going to use the next one. I was too ambitious. Maybe I just wanted more than I really should have really wanted. Says who? I mean, who sets the rules on what's too ambitious? Who sets the rules on being a prime minister or a president or a neurosurgeon? Who makes those rules? And of course, what's new on Facebook? So the minute it's hard, it's like, it's too hard. Yeah, go straight to what's easy. Go to what's easy. Go to what's distracting. Oh, man, you with me? Seriously? We're into distraction. Do you know that you got born in a moment in history with more distractions than any moment in history? There are billions of them. And there are really wealthy, intelligent people in Silicon Valley who are just going to keep coming up with new ones all the time. The next app is just around the corner. It'll be 50 times better than the last ones and 10 times as distracting. So, obstacles. Here's the principle. You don't go into the gym and find the lightest weight and go, I'm done. And walk out buff. It doesn't work that way, does it? Anybody that's ever done a gym program realizes that how do you get fitter in the gym? By pushing against harder weights. friends, there are certain laws of the universe. And as I get older, they become clearer. The universe is structured in certain ways. In the gym, what actually happens, it's called hypertrophy. Anybody doing science or phys stuff, physiology stuff, this is what happens in the gym. You push a heavier weight, you know what you actually do? You traumatize muscle tissue. So you actually tear the cells. It's called hypertrophy. You tear the cells by pushing against a harder weight, and the body repairs by growing them differently and slightly larger. But it only happens if you push harder weights. If you push smaller weights, nothing happens. So obstacles, we're talking about obstacles, you will only grow from pushing against harder ones. Hear it again. You will only grow from pushing against harder ones. Every time something's hard, it's because you're growing. Every time something's hard, it's because you're growing. You don't want to grow, that's fine. I can't make you, your staff can't, no one can, your parents can't. We can force you for a little bit and threaten you, but eventually you'll just undermine us. US Marines, do not do obstacle courses like this. Can you imagine the Marines turning up there going, all right, let's take this one apart. I got this one, I got this. Oh, look, it's bouncy. The Marines don't do that. The Marines do this. They push themselves against harder and more difficult obstacles. I wish I was a better communicator sometimes so I could try and just mentally put it in your brain. Because this is real. Whatever is harder makes you stronger. But there'll be a clarification in a minute. So watch this. For most of your life, when you've had an obstacle, what have you done? I'm stupid. I'm not good enough. I don't really want it. I was too ambitious. Your brain will not help you. Hear me. Your brain will often tell you crazy, stupid stuff. Don't listen to it. There's a whole area of personal development stuff, which is just teaching you how to manage the voice. For those two or three women in the room that really want to take it further, there's a brilliant book called Small Voice Mastery. Small Voice Mastery. It's a whole book on the fact that you have a little voice. It goes all day. If you stop for long enough, just make a little experiment. Today, as you go through your day, listen to it. It'll tell you terrible stuff. You're stupid. You look terrible. You can't believe it. You're useless. It'll talk to you all day. And you have to capture it. You have to go, really? Really? Obstacles. From now on, the rest of your life, here's a reframe. Obstacles are small green people with lightsabers. No. Obstacles are your Jedi teacher. Obstacles are your teacher. Whatever's difficult for you, you can go, well, this is terrible. It's the end of the world. Or you can go, this is a teacher. And you go, that's just words. It works. If you can go, this sucks. This sucks so much. I hate this. I'm not asking you to like it. I'm not saying to you, oh, when you get an obstacle, clap and go, this is great. It's going to be awful. You'd be miserable. You go, I wish it was easier. But it's a teacher. Go back to Star Wars, back in the day. When Luke Skywalker turns up on Yoda's planet, I mean, Yoda's eventually got, you know, Luke mentally raising X-Wing fighters, right? Obstacles in middle frame are your friend. Obstacles are your personal trainer. Obstacles are your Jedi teacher. Obstacles are your friend. Obstacles are your personal trainer. Think of it now. Don't tell me, but what are the obstacles in your life right now? I can think of a bucket load of mine. They're invitations. There's another word. Reframe. They're an invitation. They're an invitation. Do you want to grow, or you can stay exactly as you are? And remember that the game is set up to keep you exactly as you are. Obstacles are a gift. They're a gift. Doesn't feel like it. The message comes later. Next one. I used to just tell people this, and I felt that probably people left thinking, oh, well, if something's difficult, you just go forever, right? You just keep going. No. Is there a time you should quit? What if something's really difficult? Is there a time you should quit? And the answer is, yes, there is a time. What is that time? If it is causing you personal, physical, medical trauma. So if you're training for some ridiculous event and it's really taking a major physical toll, if it's harming you physically or if it's significantly harming other people, relationships, family members, quit. Okay? Quit. I ride at a very high level, you know, elite road cycling. But Karen's had to teach me when to back off, because I can push myself so hard that then I'm useless for 2 or 3 days. You can't be a father to 3 young children and do that. So there's times when I have to stop. Obstacles, one of the best things you can hear is no. One of the best things in life is when people tell you you can't. I love that. How good is that? Have you ever been told that you can't? There's a few satisfactions in life when it's like, really? One of the greatest motivational speakers in history has a beautiful line where this guy's reached millions of people. And he was being criticised because he didn't have a university degree. So he was just brilliant at what he does, but he hadn't been to uni. And he had this line on stage once where he goes, yeah, but I tell these people I got a PhD in results. I got a PhD in getting stuff done. So what in your life are you being told in different ways you can't do? And I'll give you one more example. The famous one, you may have heard of it, Thomas Edison and the light bulb. So this is the guy, in case you don't know, light bulbs. Before light bulbs, we had darkness and gas lanterns. Everything was lit by gas. And he spent all this time trying to develop a light bulb. And he got somewhere near his 5,000th attempt, because you had to kind of roll the internal filament and get it perfect and it would just explode. 5,000 failures. He's interviewed in a local paper, and the story, the journalist famously said, Mr. Edison, don't you realise that man is meant to light his way through life with gas lanterns? When are you going to give up this ridiculous obsession? And Edison famously said, young man, you don't understand what you're talking about. I haven't failed 5,000 times. I've now had 5,000 attempts, which puts me one step closer to the one that will actually work. This is classic reframing. I didn't have 5,000 failures. I had 5,000 successes, 5,000 things that told me it didn't work, which put me close to the one that will. He got told he couldn't do it. He just kept going. Decision, what do you need to cut off from? Just make a decision that from today, you're going to try and begin to live an extraordinary life. Why? Because you can. Two, reference groups, the five people you spend the most time with will have a very significant impact in your life. A very significant impact. We've now looked at obstacles. Last time to stretch. Stand for me, please. Give someone a hug. Breathe deeply and stretch.
Well, hey there, Jonathan Doerr with you, and that brings us to an end of the live recording of session two. So I really hope you can join us again for the next session, session three, where we're going to dig more deeply into the 8 strategies for bridging the gap in your life, and look forward to speaking with you again very soon.